This is Daily Renewal of the Relationship, Part 2. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We looked at it last time. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Just take that one thought. Your outward man is your body. When you were born, you began to die. All of us have different backgrounds, as different as our faces. But the one thing we all have in common is we're going to die. Hope it's no time soon. But you know for a fact you're going to die one day. Our outward man is perishing. When you read your Bible, it's the only thing that's putting in your life that is giving you life. Everything else, the earth is slowing down. Spinning, now it's very small, it's slowing down. The sun is a little cooler than it was 6,000 years ago when God made the universe. Everything is in a system of dying, except your Bible. Our outward man is perishing. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, the part of you that gets saved when you place your faith in Christ, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, the troubles that we go through, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What a verse. I, as a Christian, I'm trying to live my life for things that are not seen. Everything that you can see, every car, every house, clothing, everything on this earth, 2 Peter chapter 3, gets burned up. I'm going to say this morning in the sermon, there's no Big Bang Theory. Other than God spoke it and bang, it happened. But there's no, there was no explosion. It all ends in an explosion. Everything you see is going to be burned up, the Bible says, right before eternity begins. If you know that, then I'm trying not to live for the things of this world. I'm trying to live for what's not seen. Those are eternal things. Let's go to Exodus 29. Go to the second book in your Bible. God is talking to Aaron and his sons who are the priests. He is giving them instruction on what they have to do every day. Verse number 36. I want you to notice the word every day. No, we don't offer sacrifices like animals, but when you get saved, this does apply to everybody in here. If you're saved, you're a priest. That's why there are no priests in the New Testament. When you get saved, you become a priest. You have immediate and constant access with God. You don't have to go through anybody else because Jesus died for you. We're going to spiritualize it, but look at verse 36. So he's talking to the priests in the tabernacle, and he says, "Thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it." Look down at verse 38. "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year." Notice this. Day by day, continually. Every day, I want you sacrificing to me. Then he's going to get more specific. Verse 39. "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering." I'll show you that in just a second. "And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savour and an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Notice verse 42. "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." Watch. "Where I will meet you to speak there unto thee." When you read your Bible, it's supposed to be you spending time with Jesus. You can look at the Christian life like a duty. I go to church, I pray, and I spend time in the Bible. But without the Lord, nothing in the Christian life makes sense. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. When you spend time with your Bible, you're spending time with Jesus. That's time with the Lord. And God says here, "I want to meet with you. I want to speak with you." That's your time with God daily. And he's talking about every day. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Exodus 16. And this is where the manna came in the morning. God gave them bread from heaven every day for 40 years in the desert. Every morning when they got up, the ground was covered with God's provision for them in the morning. And then every evening, the ground was covered with quail, meat, for them to eat, 40 years. Now, then we learned in John 6 that the bread that came down from heaven, Jesus said, that was me. That was me that God sent from heaven. I want to meet with you every day. I want you to eat of me. Take me into your life just like you take bread. And I want you to read my word and meet with me and hear my voice every morning and every evening. That was Exodus 16 and John 6. This morning, we looked at Exodus 29. And God said, I want a sacrificial lamb in the morning and a sacrificial lamb to be offered every night. Same thing, morning and evening, day by day, continually, and then these sacrifices, both of them, were to have three items. In each of these, we read of flour, oil, and wine that's supposed to be in them. God said, when you offer these two sacrifices, offer it with flour. That is a picture of substance. He said, then I want the beaten oil. Oil is always a picture of the Holy Spirit and sanctification in your Bible. And then when you offer these two sacrifices, I also want wine, which in your Bible is grape juice. Sweetness is not an acquired taste. Nobody here has to be taught to like something sweet when you drink it. Alcohol is bitter. Anything fermented or, would you like the other word for fermentation? Putrefaction. Anything that putrefies is bitter. Alcohol, beer, I don't care. Nobody ever took their first taste of beer and went, whew, that's delicious. Every person, if they didn't have the peer pressure around when they took their first drink of alcohol, if they, all they did, they just saw this glass there and they, what's that? It stinks. Nobody said, oh, wow, I'll bet that tastes good. Nobody ever smelled whiskey and said, ooh, I can't wait to put that in my mouth. If anything, it makes your eyes water. The alcohol. You say, where are you getting that, preacher? All wine in your Bible is not fermented. Here, most wine is talked about grapes that have been stomped, juice drained, dehydrated, or they take about a third of the water out, they put it in earthen vessels, put a leather thing on it, wrap it, and put it in the earth, 52 degrees, to keep it until you want wine. Unless it's fresh wine, you pull the thing out of the ground, you pour it in a glass, you add water, and it's like grape juice concentrate. But it's not fermented. You can't keep, if it's fermented, you can't keep it that way. Why would I tell you that? Because there's a lot of justification of every time somebody sees wine in the Bible, it's alcohol. That is not true. And a study of that shows it. Now, let's go back to the sacrifices. Every morning, God wants you to sacrifice to Him a lamb. And in that lamb, I know we don't do it, but spiritualize it with me here just for a second. He says, I want you to put flour and oil and wine. I'm going to liken these to my time with God in the morning with my Bible. I'm going to liken these two times here with your Bible reading. What should you be looking for when you read your Bible? I think, first of all, I need to learn something. I need substance. The flour is substance. When I'm done reading the Bible, that's why it cannot be just mechanical. Okay, reading where? What's the calendar say? You know, or whatever it is. Okay, it cannot just be, okay, there, Psalms, great. Okay, I need substance. There has to be something learned when you read your Bible. That's why we tell people, if you start reading your Bible in Genesis, wonderful. Genesis is pretty easy to understand. You don't have to be a Jew to understand it. But when you hit Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, people get bogged down with the sacrifices and the ordinances because we're not Jews. Then by the time you hit Numbers, people quit. They're like, I don't understand this. You know why? Because they're not learning anything. That's why I tell you, when you read your Bible, a good Bible reading program every day will include Old and New Testament. So let me divide it. If this was Old Testament, I'm going to go Psalms, Proverbs, and an Old Testament book. And then in the New Testament, I'm going to go a New Testament book. I think your Bible reading needs to have both. If you want, somebody said, well, I just start in Genesis and I just move my way through. Most people don't know enough about the Bible to do that without getting discouraged. So what I try to encourage you to do, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so you can start working your way through the New Testament, no problem. But when you're in the Old Testament, you might want to try something like this. Day plus 30 and the day. You say, what are you talking about? Today is the 16th of June. So when you get up in the morning, whatever day it is, you would read, today you would read Psalm 16, add 30 to it, Psalm 46, add 30 to it, Psalm 76, Psalm 106, and Psalm 136, and you're reading five Psalms a day. That means you read through the book of Psalms in a month. Next, whatever day it is, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Whatever day of the month it is, tomorrow will be the 17th, today's the 16th, you'd read Proverbs 16, or tomorrow you'd read Proverbs 17. Then pick an Old Testament book. If you've not read Genesis, you need to. Genesis is the foundational book for the whole Bible. The first 12 chapters are referred to for the rest of the Bible, all 1,189 chapters. Why am I telling you that? I'm trying to whet your appetite and say, pick an Old Testament book and read two or three chapters. I'm going to go two or three chapters. A New Testament book, two or three chapters. If you did this every day, I'm trying to help you so that you do what? Learn something when you read your Bible. My pastor always taught me the most important thing you come to your Bible with is a pen. A pen tells God, Lord, you speak to my heart while I'm reading your word. I'll write it down. I'll mark it. I'll underline it. The most important thing you come to your Bible with is a pen. Or a pencil if you don't want to put ink. Don't bring a marker. That'll frustrate you. It bleeds through and then you can't read the other page. That could be a 10 chapter a day, reading 10 chapters a day. Look, it's a big book, okay? It's a big book. I never had to read a book this big in high school. I didn't have to read a book half this big. 1,600 pages? Are you kidding me? Okay. So where do you start? If you do not have a system to read your Bible, you can only do this so long. Lord, wherever you want me to read. You'd be surprised at how many people do that. Lord, okay, Lord, guide me, Lord, please. And they just go through blah, 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 blah. And it's ridiculous, honestly. When you come to your Bible, God says, when I meet with you, you need flour. I want you to learn something. I'm looking to get something from my Bible. Somehow, some way, God, I want God to speak to my heart. What's the next thing? Oil. I want conviction or edification. I need my face ripped off, or I need to be built up or encouraged. One of two things needs to happen. I'm looking for that when I read my Bible. I want the Holy Spirit of God to speak to my heart. I want God to touch me and help me, and I meet with Him through His Word. I'm looking for flour. God says I want flour in that sacrifice. I want oil in that sacrifice. And what's the last thing? Wine or sweetness, trying to think of how does this apply to my life? There's so much in the Bible about marriage. There's so much in the Bible about parenting. There's so much in the Bible about work. There's so much in the Bible about properly handling your money. There's so much in the Bible about everything we deal with. I want it to apply to my life. I don't want to just spend my time. So my sacrifice or my renewal time needs flour, oil, and wine, or I need to learn something. I need to be convicted or edified, built up some way, and I need to apply it to my life. Reading your Bible profits you whether you understand it or not. It's a holy, eternal book. It's the only book that God wrote. But if you don't understand it, it doesn't help you. You have to learn something. Now, with that in mind, God wants us renewed. When you get saved, Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4 says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. I'll make mention of that in just a second. God says, be renewed in knowledge. Then God says, Psalm 51, He wants your spirit or your attitude renewed. And then God wants your strength renewed. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Wait upon the Lord and He'll renew thy strength. These are the things God wants to renew when you read the Bible. He wants to renew your mind, your knowledge, your attitude and your spirit and your strength. Your daily renewal needs to include, go to John 15:3. And you say, well, preacher, okay, two Sundays ago, Daily Renewal Part 1, that was a Sunday school lesson on reading your Bible. Okay, this morning, preacher, this is a Sunday school lesson on reading your Bible. You're right. If I asked you to make a list this morning, If I asked you to make a list on paper and nobody could see it except you and God, and I said, write down the top five things you think God is most displeased with you with, you know what would be the top two things at every person's list? Prayer and reading your Bible. Because everybody knows we're supposed to do it. Nobody would argue if you say, bless God, Christian, you better be praying every day. I could preach that and nobody would say, oh, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows a Christian's supposed to pray. That's unarguable. If I preach real hard, like, bless God, you ought to be reading your Bible and you're backslid if you're not. Nobody here would go, that's out of bounds. Because everybody here, whether they're in church or out of church, everybody knows a Christian's supposed to read your Bible. But it's not a priority enough for most to do it. So there's a couple of things that all of us need encouragement to do. Amen? You say, that was two Sundays ago. Now this is one. Another lesson on reading your Bible. I'm trying to encourage you. Something's got to stick. Amen? You shoot a shotgun, something's got to catch a BB. Amen? I taught it one direction 2 weeks ago. This is another lesson. Look at John 15:3. Notice this. In the chapter of soul winning, Jesus says here in John 15:3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So this is the word Jesus has spoken. If you've got a King James Bible, and Jesus says every time you read it, it washes you. It cleans you. Ephesians 5:26 mentions a washing of water by the word. That's two times in the Bible that the Bible is referred to as water that cleans us when we read it. Cleans what? Cleans our brains. Our brains are dirty. Have you noticed how the secular music repeats itself? I go to Wawa, get a coffee. The songs that are playing while you pump the gas, you know, I'm trying to think of one stupid song. I want to take you out. Shh, okay. I want to take you out. I was like, okay, I got it the first time you said it. I want to take you out. That's three times. I already got it. I want to take you out. That's four. Okay. I mean, it's over and over. Okay. I'm glad everybody understands what I'm saying. Listen to the repetition. That's brainwashing. You can say what you want. Then the people listen to those songs on the radio over and over. Oh, it's bad enough in one song. They're listening to the songs over and over and over. The world does brainwash you. When you read your Bible, I need my mind cleansed. You say, what were you thinking when you left Wawa? I want to take you. And I didn't even want to think that. Okay? Because it had been beaten to my skull for, you know, the 3 minutes I was in there. But listen to what the world's doing. They're programming you. The ads they play on the radio, the repetition, what they're pushing is pushed over and over and over again. When you read your Bible cleanses you. Jesus said you're clean through the Word. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. I'm going to make a strong statement. I had to do all that to precursor up to this. I need my brain washed with the Bible. I've been brainwashed by the world. And what goes in the computer stays. It doesn't leave. You see it or you hear it once. It's done. It's in there. It never leaves. That's the way God made us. Well, if you don't use what God's given you to help your mind, it's hard to think the things of God when you're not putting the things of God in your mind. Amen? Your daily renewal cleanses your brain. You'll never get the songs out. They never leave. You'll never get the pictures out. I wish there were things in my past. I wish they would just leave me alone. They don't. The only thing I can do is override it with the Word of God. I heard one preacher say, this isn't true with me, but he said, I have so much filth in my brain that it takes me 10 chapters when I read my Bible before I even start getting anything out of it. Now, that's not true with me. I can say there's been several times it takes me a couple of chapters. I'll read one or two, and I'm just trying to override the junk that's up here. Amen? The world is programming you. That's why you can't stop reading your Bible. They don't stop. It never stops. Transgenderism, pedophilia, homosexuality, immorality, it never stops. it will keep on. You have to have something in your life that counters it and washes the filth. Amen? That's your time with God. That's the daily renewal. What else? It's a dependence on God. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. It reminds me at work, whether I'm doing physical work, spiritual work, it doesn't make any difference. I need God's help. Whatever your job is, God wants to help you. And that's a beautiful thought. It's not just, well, you're a preacher, God helps you. No, wait a second. If you're doing what God wants you to do, God wants to help you, whether you're an electrician or construction, or it doesn't make any difference, right? When you spend time with God, it reminds you to depend on Him. And then go to Psalm 4:4. It says it this way a couple of times in God's Word, and I just want you to see this. I'm going to read verse 1, but I want you to notice verse 4. Notice verse 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Notice verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. So God says when you lay down, you'd think it would say commune with the Lord on your bed. It doesn't say that. It says commune with your own heart. Everybody needs time where everything is shut off. No phone, no TV, no radio, no nothing. And you just meditate and you talk. Have you ever heard the statement, you know, you hear the old timer say, I had a good talk with myself yesterday. Communing with your own heart is very important as a Christian. Some people, they never have quiet time. There's always noise going. It's always music or radio or news or TV, or there's never any time. It used to be before TV and radio, people went home after work and they sat. They didn't turn on amusement. And I'm just saying, commune with your own heart. Go to Psalm 77, verse 6. Notice the wording is the same. Go to Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search, my attitude. You know what people did before TV and radio? You provided your own music. And as you spent time with yourself, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, because of Calvary. You sang a good song to yourself. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You understand, they had time, my song in the night, and then communing with your own heart. That quiet time is a time of renewal where your mind is cleansed, you're reminded about your dependence on God and your daily time. That's why a time with God every day is so important. Specifically, somebody says, well, my time with God's in the morning. I think you've mastered it when you have a time with God in the morning and a time with God in the evening. Well, I just don't have time for that. I think it's true for all of us. If you took TV out of your life, you'd have time. Everybody would. But there's so much to do other than spend time with God nowadays. I mean, there's so much entertainment that many think it's natural. And as Christians, it's wonderful to come to church where you can be reminded, you know what, Christian, you need a time with God. If you aren't getting it, the world's getting you. They don't stop. And it's only going to get worse. You think the sex stuff is bad now? Give it another 10 years. Men aren't wearing dresses yet. Much, right. Ew. But no, it's starting to be advertised. There's websites now where men can buy dresses. It's coming. Think with me. Since World War II, things have been getting worse and worse as materialism gets higher and higher. If you don't take time with God, hopefully, and watch this, you need a Bible reading program. If this doesn't work for you, then see me. I got 5 different Bible reading programs. I got stuff simpler than this. But you need a system where you're working through your Bible. And I'd love to help you. One day, one of these days, I want to get something where every morning I send out me reading the Bible for 5 minutes and then teaching on it. You have a 10-minute devotion where you can listen to on your way to work or something. I'm not there yet, but one day I'd like to. I think that'd be neat. I've got dreams. I've got things I want to do for the people of our church to make available. I'll say it again. The world doesn't stop, and the immorality is only going to get worse. It's going to get filthier and filthier and you ain't seen nothing yet. It gets worse before it gets better, everybody. Jesus is coming, but you need to know. Your Bible should be your safety.